Jeopardy Sushi Masters will not be seen tonight because the prep crew ate the wrong section of Fugu. In its place, a show that's a lot less fishy.
This is Gordon Pepper, and based on the opening segment and based on some of the play in Survivor, certain people are going to want to tell other people to go Fugu themselves.
Okay, and we have a case of RTFC in The Amazing Race, a winner of Drag Race, and more All-Stars, if we talk about them, Pickles and Chipotle, and a winner in Celebrity Jeopardy, which was not a surprise. And we have more Super Champs. It's not as much of Wheel of Champions anymore, but we have a lot to talk about and not a lot of time. So, Chico, let's go.
Let's do it from somewhere in America. WLTI, the World's Strongest Game Show Podcast, is on. Let's go.
Whee!
Welcome to the 12th penultimate episode towards 500, number 488 at WLTI here at 5-1. My name is Jason Block, strength and coach, all-around good guy, and passing out all the allergy medications. Damn that pollen. But I'm here with Chico and Gordon, my brothers from another mother. Gentlemen, how are you?
I'm passing out on the allergy medications. Thanks for asking.
But we need a lot more of this guy, Mr. Gilbert, if you would.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
Okay, so tonight was the final of the Celebrity Jeopardy Season 3. And we have W. Kamau Bell, who is playing for, I just need to
Donors
get
Choose.
There. My,
he's playing for Donors Choose.
Donors Choose, right. Dave Freeberg, who is playing for the Humane Society, and Robin Feed, who is playing for Women in Film. And honestly speaking, it was close at the end. It was close at the end because Robin was in the lead with 15-5, Kamau 13-6, and Dave 5-1. And spoiler, with In Memoriam 2024. The clue. This comedy legend always credited his wife Ginny for the idea behind what is still called one of the greatest finales in TV history. And
ask
that is absolutely
a hard one.
It's accurate. So let me explain. Let me set it up, shall we? We can set it up.
Oh, totally.
So, the greatest finale in history was the finale of the show, now it's easy enough to say it, Newhart. Being that everything in the show was a dream and he woke up in bed as the Bob Newhart show with his wife, played by Suzanne Plachette. Of course, and it was absolutely terrific. And, of course, it was Bob Newhart was the correct comedian. And the only person who had the correct answer was W. Kamau Bell, whose charity Donors Choose is $1 million richer. Not a surprise to me.
No, not a surprise at all. W. Kamau Bell definitely showed his stuff. He was there to play. He went in.
And I hope he goes into regular Jeopardy because he's got a chance.
He does. And frankly, if I'm not mistaken, by virtue of his win on Celebrity Jeopardy, he now qualifies for the Tournament of Champions.
That is correct. Like Lisa Ann Walter did.
So look for him.
Gordon, any thoughts?
No, especially since me and Chico both predicted Kamau Bell was going to win. So, yeah. No, I thought he was the better all-around player the whole entire tournament. He did not prove me wrong in the last one, and he deserved it. Kudos for him. And I am interested to see what he does in the Tournament of Champions.
Okay, and if he goes...
And by the way...
Go ahead, Jay.
If he goes, but I will say this much, Season 4 is going to be epic. Because I think celebrities want to play now. I think it's been enough time that I think celebrities are going to want to play.
I know Emma Stone's dying to get on the show. Well, this might be her only ticket to the actual show instead of the celebrity show because, you know, the winner of the Celebrity Jeopardy goes to the Tournament of Champions. And W. Kamau Bell, if he goes into the next Tournament of Champions, will probably run into Liam Starnes because he's playing for his fourth win tonight against Abigail Arnold, an academic administration from Waltham, Massachusetts, and Eric Kordova, a compliance specialist from Chicago, home of SporkleCon 2025. I will see you there. Going into the final, Eric, by virtue of his zero score, is out. So it's Abigail's 14,000, Liam's 18,800, as we play Heads Up Final Jeopardy with your category of 20th Century History. A 1919 Punch cartoon titled The Gap in the Bridge showed Uncle Sam sleeping on the missing keystone of this.
Now, I said what Liam said, which was the Golden Gate Bridge. I know that's wrong.
Yeah. Gordon, the correct response, please.
Well, it was a keystone, so it's obviously who's a keystone cop, and he had a giant orgy.
No.
Okay. Explanation time. It's a political cartoon where everything represents something. The bridge is labeled the League of Nations, which the U.S. had proposed and then never joined, according to the Brainiac, Ken Jennings. So nobody gets that right, and that is actually one of the harder Final Jeopardies in recent memory. Liam bets just enough to win by 400. He's $9,599 richer, giving him a four-day total of $81,801. He returns tomorrow.
He gets to go for the key to enter the TOC.
Yes. And while we're on Jeopardy, we are doing the prelude to Masters because that drops next week. April's just...
We actually have matchups for that.
We do.
Okay. We do. According to the Jeopardy fan, the ABC press release says that the opening game next week will feature Victoria Yogesh and Brad Rutter in Game 1 with Matt Amodio, Roger Craig, and Juveria Zahir in Game 2. Which means Nailish, Isaac, and Adriana will compete in Game 3, and we don't know the next rotation after that.
Yes.
Here we go.
Yeah. By the way, according to Andy, Andy's a good friend of ours as the Jeopardy fan. According to the Unified Prediction Model here on the Jeopardy fan, Game 1 gives Victoria a 40% chance of winning, Yogesh a 32% chance, and Brad a 28% chance. Game 2...
Really?
I
do not agree with those numbers, but okay, sure.
Game 2 gives Matt a 36% chance, Roger a 35% chance, and Juveria a 29% chance, meaning it's literally anybody's game.
The second one I actually agree with. The first one, no love for Roger.
Well, he's been out of practice for a while.
I think you're sleeping on him, but okay, fine. Just like the Keystone Cops are sleeping on the Keystone.
And Game 3 has Nealish with a 40% chance, Isaac with 32%, and Adriana at 28%. By the way, the updated format will see 9-hour-long episodes. Players will be eliminated after a 3-episode knockout round, 2 more after a 3-episode quarterfinal round, and then a 2-episode semifinal and a 3-player 2-game total point final affair. Similar to the first two seasons. So that's going to be an interesting, refreshing change. We're going to see, like, all of a sudden, every game matters. So it's going to be a good watch, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting because this is not the only show we're going to be talking about that's got a format change. So this is one of those, you like it or you don't like it.
Indeed.
Because I like it.
Well again, I don't think the adding of three people on this is going to hurt the format that much. We're going to find out about the other one in a little bit. As a matter of fact, I think we should find out about it now.
Before we get to that, we need to crown a champion.
We do.
It is down to Sam Starr, Lexi Love, Jewel Sparkles, and Anya Nerve. So, we have the final two, because we get this congeniality, which is Crystal and Vape. Final two were Anya Nerve, as expected, and Jewel Sparkles.
I caught that one. That was my upset pick, y'all.
The lip sync song was, of course, the very hot single Abracadabra by Lady Gaga. If you've seen the Coachella sets, you know why. And the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race 17, not a surprise, Anya Nerve.
And now let me ask you this question, because here's my thought, and you can let me know if you agree or disagree. First of all, I thought your final two should have been based on, if you're doing it based on the performances, which is supposedly what it was based on, your final two should have been your final two. Right? Like, okay. There's no question on that.
Definitely. I thought, you know, Jewel Sparkles was really coming up strong in the later stages of the season, and Anya Nerve's been strong all season long. So the final two, they got it right. They absolutely got it right. They gave us a great finale. Liza Minnelli got the Giving Us Lifetime Achievement Award, and much deserved there. And it's been a really good season, I think.
And here's what I thought about the final lip sync, which was interesting, because I thought, I definitely thought Anya Nerve deserved a win. But about the lip sync, you know, Jewel Sparkles pulled out everything. She pulled out the reveal. She pulled out this other stuff. But my thought was, the question isn't when you do a lip sync, who is the better performer in terms of styles and acrobatics and reveals and stuff like that. It's who is the better performer based on how well they can evoke the song. And that is where I think Anya Nerve got the win, because she didn't do any of that fancy stuff, but she really evoked the song. It almost reminded me of Kenya Michaels versus Latrice Royale all the way back in season 4 with You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman by Aretha Franklin, where, you know, Kenya was bouncing around all over the place and you just had Latrice Royale, very soft, very quiet, rubbing her pregnant belly, and just really giving a soulful ballad, which is really what the song was about. And if you look at it that way, you really got more power and emotion out of Anya Nerve in terms of doing what the song is really all about. Just my opinion. Your opinions may vary.
Well, that concludes a pretty stellar RuPaul's Drag Race the early part of the year. Now we move to Paramount Plus and the controversial All Stars 10. Okay?
I don't know why we're calling it controversial, but okay.
Well, it's controversial because of the format change. That's why.
Okay.
Okay? So what happens is we have 18 queens on 3 different teams, which is purple, pink, and orange. Okay. On the orange team, we have Aja, Bosco, Deja Sky, Irene the Alien, Olivia Lux, and Phoenix from season 3. That is the furthest back a queen goes. Okay.
No, it is not. Try again.
In this season?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're
keep going, sir!
That would be in the pink thing, because you have Georges, Kerry Colby, Lydia Butthole Collins from this past season, Mistress Isabel Brooks, Nicole Page Brooks from season 2, you're correct, and Tina Burner, one of my personal favorites from season 13. Loved her, okay? And the Purple Squad is Acid Betty, Alyssa Hunter, Cynthia Lee Fontaine, Dia Betty, Denali, and Ginger Minj.
Yes, all of that now, is correct.
Yeah, now, here's the interesting thing. This is called the Tournament of All-Stars. Chico, tell us why.
According to MTV and Paramount Plus, the competition will sport a first-of-its-kind format and will see the queens divided into 3 groups of 6. There, they will compete to earn points across 3 episodes in their own brackets. The top 3 competitors from each bracket will advance to the semifinals, where they will battle against one another over 2 episodes. The final queen standing will battle one another in a lip-sync smackdown for the crown, where the winner will be revealed. So, it's sort of like we're doing our own riff on a Tournament of Champions. Granted, it's new, it's fresh, it's something that's never been tried on Drag Race All-Stars. But controversial, Jay? You're going to have to explain that, because I'm scratching my head here.
Because remember, they're not doing eliminations, per se.
Technically
they are, because you're going from 6 to 3.
Right, but again, this tournament just, it seems like the people are not liking, you know, that it's not a straight all-star season, per se.
But it is. You know? You're actually taking 18 queens, you're letting them showcase themselves for 3 episodes, and certain queens get more episodes. Half them move on. It almost sort of feels like a cross between Jeopardy and the World Cup.
Okay.
Because you have your different divisions, and everybody has 3 quote-unquote games to get enough points to go to the next round. I mean, that screams World Cup. I think it's fun. I really like the fact that they mix up the queens. I mean, obviously, you're going to have more current ones. I do like the fact that you have Nicole Page Brooks from season 2 and Phoenix from season 3 and other queens that you barely got to see anything from, like Irene the Alien, mixed with veteran queens that you completely expect to see in the finals, like a Ginger Minj, for argument's sake. So I think it's a nice mix. This should be fun. I'm looking forward to this.
I'm also looking forward to this. I can't wait.
That debuts, I believe, 2 weeks in May 9th. May 9th.
That is May 9th. That is a Friday, and new episodes will drop every Friday on Paramount Plus. So be on the lookout for that.
And there will be an Associated Untucked as well.
Yes. As there always is. Now,
Are we going to Bulgaria or the island?
Let's go to the island, because, Jay, I know you have thoughts.
I do. So, after the tribal council, Eva sneaks out of camp when she thought everyone was asleep, except, well, Shaheen saw her leave and woke Joe to let him know this, okay? And she also correctly surmised where she was going to. Now, she went to the designated location. She's got an extra vote until 7. But she could risk it by taking a 50-50 shot to get a safety without power. She has now, okay? But then she could risk that for a 1-in-3 shot of winning an immediate immunity idol good until 5. She chose not to risk her advantage. Now
that's,
here's
that's
the problem.
That's actually pretty smart, I think. I think that's because she
already
has...
Yes, that was very, very...
She already has an idol. Why does she need a second one?
Right. So then she goes to, like, what was it, the core four or core five? I forget how many she has. It's her, Joe, Jaheen,
Kyle,
and one
her. It's Eva, Kyle, Jaheen, and Joe. So there's your core four there.
And she says, this is what happened. And she tells them what she has. I wanted to throw my laptop and throw my... This, Gordon, I have spoken to you about this for like the last 5 years. I hate when people say, get their power and say, you know what? Here I am. This is what I have. She should have
what she said, what she's really saying is, I'm giving you a whole bunch of reasons why you should be voting me off at your first opportunity to do so once my vote is no longer needed as collateral. That is what she said.
That's what she's saying, yeah.
That's exactly what she's saying. Because if you're a person who... People who win the game, at least to me, don't say stuff. They don't. I was about to say something, but I couldn't.
Shinola. They don't do Shinola.
They don't say Shinola. They just go on and play their game. This makes me ill. It really does. And I'm sorry if it's like, oh, she's playing a nice game. No. No. Uh-uh. Wrong. Anyway. So the reward challenge, and we've seen this before, they held onto a bar to attach to an overhead chute that placed pressure on a ball rolling down the chute. And if they failed or stepped off, they were out. And it came down to Joe and David. David slips. Joe wins and chose Mitch, Shaheen, and Eva to join him for ham and cheese wraps, fruits, veggies, and drinks. And what we go to tribal council and we get Avid being sent home in a little bit of a blindside in a 6-3 vote against Mitch. I think that was the right call.
I do, because you're seeing cracks beginning to form in that strong six alliance. And the plan was just a stand-in, I think. Cracks were already beginning to emerge. The alliance was torn between Chrissy and Camilla. David ultimately didn't get his way. Nobody, the least of which was David, saw it coming. And the group voted together. He wasn't pleased with how much Kyle and Shaheen changed the plan last minute. But if you ask me, I think the plan was the plan. And David got some bad information. That's the game, my friends. You got played.
It's nothing to do with bad information. Well, I mean, it's nothing to do with bad information as much as it's to do with, okay, fine, it's your six. We've seen this in Big Brother all the time.
Indeed, we did.
When is the right time to start picking off the members within your own alliance? Because the last time I checked, they don't give $1 million to a group of six. They give $1 million to one person, which means you need to get there, which means you need to find your solid two or three, and that may mean to start making moves now.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
That is indeed what happened. So, David is gone, and we are down to, I believe it is 9 now?
Let's go to Bulgaria, and I have thoughts.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
So we go, we're still in Bulgaria, and we're at the village square, and one team had an option to go for an express pass if they went firewalking. And it was easy, and Alyssa, well, for them, because Alyssa and Josiah did it first, and everyone else said, nah, we don't think so. So
it's not that hard, guys. Firewalking only looks hard. It's not that hard, really.
Because you don't... Here's the thing is, because you move very quickly over the fire. If you stay long, your foot gets burned.
Yes.
That's what happens.
But Josiah doesn't like anything hot, so he drinks hot chocolate.
So then they...
Anyway, now, go ahead.
After driving to Lake Ariana, teams had to take place part in a Jordan Day tradition by searching for a lake for a crucifix, which the priest tossed in the lake. And then, here is the clue, teams could not travel by taxi for the rest of the leg. Now,
read the Fugu clue.
Read the Fugu clue. And one team did not do that, and I'm going to steal it because everything else did not matter in this episode. It was Melinda and Erica who did that, okay? Because they would have, first of all, even they finished last, but they would have even had to have a, I don't know what the penalty would have been. Because they travel taxi throughout the rest of the legs. And here I have another issue, okay? So then once they went to the Russian Monument Square Kleck shop, which is a little hidden bodega snack shop type of thing, they get a clue and go to the library at Sofia University and had to translate two book pages from Cyrillic to English using a cipher before receiving their next clue. Of course, the key to the cipher was the cipher on the bottom, and they were going, do we need a book? Do we need that? Because sometimes the most simple answer is the correct one, right?
Jason Occam's Razor Block.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right. And the clue was from the King James Bible.
John 1:1.
John was with God. Right. And the Word was God. So, but here is the situation. So you had Erica and Melinda struggling with Han and Holden. Carson and Jack show up and decide to help Han and Holden instead. Okay? Again, if you're in a race with four or five teams left, why are you helping people? Why?
You know what?
Why?
I can't. I don't know where a racer's mind is at. I think they're thinking this is going to come back, and this is going to come back to me if the situation is somehow reversed. At the same time, it's like, okay, I have a strategic advantage. Why am I giving somebody this strategic advantage if I'm not done with it yet?
Mm-hmm. And then once they translated the clue, they had to search the sculpture garden of the Museum of Socialist Art, which sent them to the Central Military Club, where we had a dance, which Who Wants to Go Back in Time, I believe the name of the clue, the roadblock was.
Yeah, they had to perform a Bulgarian folk dance called a horo with a troupe of dancers before receiving the next clue. Jay and I were actually watching this before recording, and the song that they were singing to is going to live free in our heads.
Yes, pretty much. And then they go to St. Alexander Nevsky Church, gorgeous cathedral, and Brett and Mark win, I believe, $7,500 each.
Correct.
And as we said, Melissa and Erica were there last to begin with, but they were going to be penalized, so they were Dunsky. This was a very filler episode, if you really want to call it that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's you sort of knew who was leaving even at the beginning of the episode, where it's like, don't use a taxi. Don't use a taxi. Ah, you used a taxi.
Right. That was.
I was like that. Those episodes, like season 3, episode 13, episode of Pointless, where they go, we need a state of the United States that touches an ocean, either Atlantic or Pacific, and they say, and the contestants say, Mexico. So it's like, all right, we know who's leaving this episode. We know who's leaving this round. So yeah, I mean, sometimes it is what it is in this case, and that's what happened.
Hey, sometimes the recap just writes itself.
Right, but I also next week In Italia, we're talking pizza and mozzarella, so I'm really happy.
You're looking forward to that. Well, hey, you want a pizza, me? Unfortunately, that's going to wait until tomorrow because we're going to be talking about Chipotle and pickles now.
Okay. Because on Top Chef, and of course, this was a corporate-sponsored challenge, the chefs were given 30 minutes to take the ingredients to make their Chipotle lunch orders and rework them into new dishes. And the guest judges were Suzer Lee and his son, Jet Lee. Okay. The winner received $10,000, and that was Tristan, who did steak tartare, obiata sofrito, green harissa, crema, and lime-cured corn. But Nick, the elimination challenge was a big pickle. Okay?
Oh, boy.
They were split into two teams, produced five-course progressive menus featuring five different type of pickles. Cornichons, which are the little tiny pickles, right? Full sour pickles, dill pickles, spicy pickles, and bread and butter pickles. I love all those pickles.
I know you love your pickles, Jay.
I do. What? Hey!
What? Hey! You're a kosher dill guy. Come on!
Yes, and give me a half sour, by the way. They go great on a sandwich. Anyway, so Bailey and Tristan picked their teammates, which were, for the green team, Cesar, Henry, Katiana, Shuai, and Tristan, and the purple team, Bailey, Lana, Massimo, Paula, and Vinny. Five head-to-head matchup, 1-3 won the challenge, and the contestant with the judge favorite dish was for the next elimination challenge. The diners included a winner and guest judge of Top Chef Wisconsin, Danny Garcia, Season 3 winner of Canada, Matthew Stowe, chefs Daniel Corona and Nick Liu, and the James Beard Foundation CEO Claire Reichenbach. The winner was the purple team, and Massimo's Cornichon Fried Pickle Canola with L'Express Tartare won him the round. Katiana goes to Last Chance Kitchen with roasted dilly cucumbers, dill pickle, and clam vinaigrette. Yuck. Pickle brine, potatoes, and cucumber seed porridge. Wow. Okay. So,
the cucumber seed porridge actually does not sound that bad.
Well, okay. Cucumber seeds, by and large, are not really edible. So.
Right. So, Katiana and Kat were presented with pickled items such as kimchi, capers, umeboshi, and pickled eggs. They had to have, and each chef picked ingredients that the other chef had to use and had 30 minutes to create cohesive dishes. And Katiana's beef marinated salmon with pickled beets, grabiche tartare with onion pickle and pepper pickle and beet greens eliminated Kat. So Katiana is the head of Last Chance Kitchen. For now.
Yes.
But we have a little bit of a mini replay. Do I need to set the time or no?
You know what? Set the time.
Okay.
All right. 5.5 minutes to talk about three different shows.
I am setting the clock and it starts now.
All right, we're going to start with Wheel of Fortune's iHeartRadio Final, where Andrew Goodman from Larchmont, New York, teams up with Andy Grammer. Mekdi's Getaboon from Dallas, Texas, teams up with JoJo. And Jay Tope from San Antonio, Texas, teams up with Jason Derulo. And all three charities are playing. Andy's playing for Children's Hospital. JoJo's playing for Share Our Strength. Jason's playing for Make-A-Wish. The winner's purse will be matched and donated to the charity, while each one is guaranteed $10,000. Going into the speed-up round, Jay and Jason win the game with 12,350. They pick What Are You Doing over Thing and Place. With the I in Spin, the category, What Are You Doing? They pick GFDO. They are moving forward with $40,000, giving his total $69,350 in cash and vacation. Now we go to... Yeah. Now we go to the floor, which also wrapped up, and we're down to Andrew versus Steven after David Madden lost in the penultimate duel on Endangered Animals. So, Andrew.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, it is going to be boy bands, cosplay, and international foods, best 2 of 3. Steven wins the boy band duel. Andrew wins the cosplay duel. And international foods goes to Steven. Congratulations, he's $250,000 richer.
Yay.
And the American Idol Final 14 are Thunderstorm Artist, Amanda Burris, Che Chesterman, Philo, Cannon James Hill, Gabby Simone, Maddie Pruitt, Josh King, Slater Daly, John Foster, Colby Jordan, Desmond Roberts, Jamal Roberts, and Brianna Nix.
And the son of the boy band singer goes bye-bye-bye.
Stop the clock!
Yeah.
Gordon just nailed that one, let me tell you.
Actually, he didn't want it. Actually, he didn't want it that way, so. That's more where you were heading, actually, but, you know.
Yeah, well.
Hey, save it for the game tonight, because we're getting a bit of Have I Got News For You if it was game show oriented in our third act, but that's after all the news you didn't even know you needed to know, including some big name renewals and some big name returns with Gordon Pepper, Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander, 6 day with 501, your hope for We Love Twitter up to give us 22 minutes.
And we will give you 22 different ways that you can bet on Brad Rutter on Jeopardy. Because Web3 and crypto.
Unfortunately,
maybe FanDuel.
FanDuel is not one of them. I should know this.
But it should be.
What, crypto?
What about Bodog? MGM?
Bodog? What
Karate
is it? Better?
Gaming Mobile.
William Hill? We know all the casino. We know all the casino apps because we're degenerate gamblers. But we're also degenerate game show commentators, and we'll be back right after this. This is We Love to Interrupt on 5 and 1.
Let's go.
This is Wayne Brady. Talking to someone about how you feel may be the most difficult thing in the world. People go through this, and you're not alone in the fight. Help starts with a conversation.
Vision News is going to be sponsored by Who Wants to Be the Next Pontiff? 132 secret candidates vote on who will the next pontiff be. Is there any television coverage? Any news? Not really, but we're going to try and get it. Stanley Tucci hosts.
Idiotif me pontiff.
Yes. And everybody's going to think it's like the movie Conclave, which it kind of is, but kind of isn't.
Well, here's the thing. Elections to the Pope have been done in secret by pain of death, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Once they seal the door, it's on, pretty much.
Yep, and we're going to be looking for white smoke like we're Snoop Dogg. Speaking of which, Gordon...
Roll that beautiful brain footage. Drop it like it's hot.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe. This is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
I am so going to hell. Thank you very much, Doug Morris. Remember to follow Doug Morris on all social media at Rock 104 Rock Tracks, at Tracks Productions, and at Rock 104 Rock Tracks, and at Doug Morris Games. And also, don't forget to listen to his show, Rock 104 Rock Tracks. From high atop is Rock 104 Rock Tracks in the palatial Rock 104 Rock Traps Pine Belt. And on Rock 104 Rock Tracks, that is Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg, 104.1 on your FM dial and all over 104.5 on your FM dial and all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com, Odyssey apps, and WXRR Rock 104 apps. Rock 104 Rock Tracks.
Wow, okay. Notice the bats are full of ABC logos this week.
Yeah, and this is not a bat. I don't know what the hell this is, but this is not a bat.
Okay.
It's business. It's business time.
I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time. Ooh.
It's business. It's business time.
I know the joke is, I know exactly what it is, and it has to do with something we talked about in Act 1, which is Snoop Dogg returning to The Voice next fall.
In season 28.
Yes.
Because they filmed the seasons back to back, right, if I'm not mistaken?
And season 28 right now is being produced. Snoop Dogg is returning to The Voice chairs as part of a new overall deal he has with NBC Universal through his Death Row Pictures. So be on the lookout for that. I don't know who's going to be joining him, but I do know that Snoop will be in the chair come this fall.
Right. So ABC has renewed three shows this week, and okay, one of them has a crossover with the BS Big Show, and that will start is The Golden Bachelor. We're going to get a season two of that, and the reason why it is the is a BS and NFL because former NFL star Mel Owens is the Golden Bachelor.
Yes, he parlayed his NFL notoriety into a lucrative law career. His specialty is injury law, specifically sports injury law.
Right, and he's 66 and a divorcee, and we'll see where that goes. I'm interested in this. The second one, I'm going to say it. The second one is Dancing with the Stars. It was renewed yesterday, and there was a big press conference because we had the first contestant already confirmed and exposed, and that was Robert Irwin, the son of Steve Irwin. And Gordon, do you know why he was put on the show?
Because of his big anaconda?
Pretty much, yes. Because if you remember a couple of weeks ago, he did a very, very revealing underwear ad for, I believe it's an Australian underwear company. And lots of women were noticing the size of his snake.
His anaconda don't want none unless it's got buns,
huh? That's it. Oh, yeah. And we'll get more as things go on. Now, the third one is interesting. ABC yet again is renewing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire for the first time in what? They said 4 years?
I think it's actually, I think our good friend Ben Tridle said 3 years because remember, season three had Ike Barinholtz and an audience, and I believe that was 2 or 3 years ago.
That's correct. Okay. And so
unfortunately, but they are going to be bringing back the celebrity format for the last that we've had for two of the last three seasons. Why? No, seriously, why are we doing this? What's wrong with...
Gordon. What? Yeah, what is wrong with regular people? Why, Gordon? Why do you think they're doing it?
Because regular people doesn't get the money or the advertising that stars do.
Well, what about the half and half?
Why can you command one third of the audience?
What about the half and half they did in season two?
Me?
I had no problem with that. But yeah, there are still civilians out there who are aching to get into the hot seat to play for $1 million, he says as he's frantically pointing at himself.
Oh, well. Anyway, still not a fan. Going to trash it as much as I can while it's out there, but that's me, because I would like to see the regular people. But I also have, Gordon, you sent me a date email, because there's not much there this week.
There is not, but I'll let you do it.
Sure. Friday is Morimoto Sushi Master, season premiere on Roku. Excellent show, by the way. Really good. Sunday.
Yeah, that was really fun, season one. I hope they do that again. Just as good of a job, season two.
Oh, yeah.
24 and 24 is Last Chef Standing, the season premiere.
That's also a really good show.
And then next Wednesday, Last One Laughing, Columbia, the season finale. And the season premieres of Celebrity, well, the continuing Celebrity season premiere, the last run of Pat Sajak, and Jeopardy Masters season premiere on ABC, which we all can't wait, okay?
It's going to be fierce, so, just saying.
Let's talk about that app, though.
Wheel of Fortune is heading back on the road this year, and they're starting out with something I don't think they've done before. It is a Las Vegas residency.
Yeah, a little bit of one, yes.
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 Yes. It's going to start with a mini residency, an engagement, if you will, at the Paris Las Vegas with Mark L. Wahlberg hosting starting July 11th. And it's going to be really fun. Tickets go on sale Friday, April 25th, and will be available by calling the box office at 855-234-7469. Or visit the box office in person or through Ticketmaster. VIP packages will also be available to give fans early access, premiere seats, pre-show lounge access, and photo opportunities to spin the wheel. More information at the official website, wheeloffortunelive.com. So far,
I will also say the residency will be July 11th, July 12th, July 18th, and July 19th. And there will be 8 shows total, 2 shows each day.
Yes, so a lot of chances to spin the wheel if you are in the Vegas area. And more dates are going to be added with more venues being added. We can't wait to have all of that information. But again, your stop for that is wheeloffortunelive.com.
Going in Vegas? Smart. Yes, not so much.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
You got it. I don't.
Okay, so Canada's Drag Race had a contestant by the name of Vegas. She says that she was brutally attacked in Mexico. That was Monday. Yesterday, Venus came out and said, "The statements I previously made in the screenshots shared are not accurate and were made in a state of extreme fear as I was not in the right frame of mind." After making claims that she was brutally attacked by police in Mexico, Venus tells Entertainment Weekly all of that. In a follow-up Instagram story, she said she made her initial statements in a moment of fear and deep confusion after blacking out unexpectedly in the moment. When I came to, my lack of clear memories, combined with the status of my physical injuries, led me to believe that something serious had happened in Puerto Vallarta. She said that through discussions with local authorities and advocacy groups like the Vallarta Gay Plus Community Center, it was made clear to me that I was involved in an altercation that she said occurred prior to any police involvement and is not the result of a wrongful abduction or brutality by the authorities. So this was after, she says, I was choked and kicked for an hour, and then they took $1,000 cash from me and my headphones, and then I had to pay to them hundreds more dollars to get released, and I can't even call the police because they're the one who did this. Let this be a lesson. Social media is not your friend.
No.
Well, social media is your friend if you treat your friend correctly. But in this case, no.
Haterade is on ice. Snow ice, that is.
Rain!
And CBS cried because there was no summit left to conquer. Yeah, says the networks are getting ready for their upfront for their fall schedules. The summit is not on the schedule, having been canceled after one season.
This was not a shock to me. It was an absolutely boring show. This was an absolutely boring show with a niche format, and it just didn't work. It just didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it was just way too niche. I mean, niche is fine if you do it correctly, and I don't think they did it correctly. So, unfortunately, we get less of the summit, but we are going to go to the UK, where we get a summit of a different kind.
Been around the world and I can't find my baby. I don't know when, I don't know why he's gone away.
All right, sort of an amuse-bouche. I'm going to have to play Johnny Gilbert again, aren't I?
Why?
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios.
Oh, yes!
This is Jeopardy!
That's right, because Jeopardy UK has its own star in the making. A man by the name of
Ben Jones, a hotel receptionist from Care Philly, who has won 8 games in a row with a total of £51,830. Okay.
Yes. And today he's going for his 9th against Seb Bates, a medical statistician from Manchester, and Rita Patel, a primary school teacher from Harrow. Going into the final, Ben has £6,450. Seb has £2,150. Rita has -400 and is out. A lot game for Ben as we go into the final Jeopardy category, 19th century paintings. On display at the Musée d'Orsay in Paris, the 1871 painting, Arrangement in Gray and Black Number 1, is better known by this colloquial name.
Now again, as Chico said to me in the production meeting, things that are easy in us may be hard over there. This one is an easy one. Of course, that is Whistler's Mother. Okay? And gets it right, adds 7,900 more pounds, and wins with, and has a almost 60,000 pound total going into tomorrow's UK Jeopardy. Wow. Good for him.
Yep.
Excellent.
If they ever do Jeopardy US versus the world, I bet you he gets a call.
He does. But we also need to stay in the UK for this next one.
Yes. Celebrity Traitors has been lined up. And we have the lineup here. Speaking of Jeopardy, Stephen Fry is going to be playing along with Tom Daly, Olympian. Broadcast journalist Kate Garraway from Good Morning Britain. Sports presenter Claire Balding. Actress Celia Emery from The Diplomat, Jonathan Ross from The Masked Singer UK, singer Paloma Faith, comedian Alan Carr from Drag Race UK, Tamika Empson from EastEnders, rugby star Joe Marler, comedian Bob Mortimer from LOL Last One Laughing UK, actor Nick Muhammad from Ted Lasso, singer Charlotte Church, historian David Olusoga, actor Mark Bonner from Line of Duty, comedian Lucy Beaumont, singer Kat Burns, actor Ruth Codd from Fall of the House of Usher, comedian Joe Wilkinson from 8 out of 10 Cats, and YouTuber Nico Omiyana.
Could be fun.
Should be fun.
Could be fun. But then we're going to get a lot of media pros.
I got pros in different area codes. Pros in different area codes.
In this week's Media Pro Report, we have our Jeopardy Masters lined up. We have our All-Star Drag Race lined up. Snoop Dogg, we talked about. The Bullet Brothers deal with Shudder. Their Dracula is coming back for season 7.
John Cena of Wipeout and other game shows has won his record 17th championship at WrestleMania last week and is going to, quote-unquote, ruin wrestling, unquote.
You mean he hasn't done so already?
But we'll see where that goes. Continue.
Yes. Dave Coulier beat cancer on the same day he found out he was a grandfather. Ace Young and Diana DeGarmo are still together celebrating their anniversary, as are Boston Rob and Amber Mariano. Congratulations to them. Brooke Burns supports her director husband and his feature, The Accountant 2.
That's her husband? Wow.
Yeah, that's her husband. Padma Lakshmi is returning to the kitchen next fall with CBS's America's Culinary Cup. And Jim Jefferies will be hosting a show called The Snake for Fox this summer. This comes as there is a similar show called The Snake in the UK with a different premise. So we have two snakes. But we have one snake who ends up being our pro of the week, and that is the aforementioned Robert Irwin.
Robert. Yes, because as you said, his anaconda got him Dancing with the Stars. But not mine. My actually,
yours was
my
John
pro of the
Cena,
week is... It's John Cena, yeah, for winning his 17th title. And by the way, he actually debuted a trailer with him and Idris Elba where he plays the President of the United States.
Who, John Cena or Idris Elba?
John Cena.
I would vote for John Cena for president, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
What? Hustle, flow, respect. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
Right there.
Okay.
In our third act, after we get our after second round libations, we're going to get some laughter on, aren't we?
Yes, we are. They make news. We make it better. It's What's My Zinger coming up next here on the We Love to Interrupt program on 5-1. Stick and stay. We'll be right back. WLTI is brought to you by the Golden Age Bachelor. Yes, we've seen the Bachelor. Yes, we've seen the Golden Bachelor. But how about somebody who is really, really into the Golden Age of comics? talking about your Guy Gardner Green Lanterns, your Superman old school, your Batman old school, Spider-Man looking like an absolute chump of a man before he got bit by that spider. That's all in the Golden Age Bachelor. One of the Spider-Man hosts, probably Nicholas Hammond, because Golden Age.
You don't know, he's got a mask on, so you don't know which one you're talking about.
Ah, that's true. That's true.
So, but anyway, it's time for a little old school on a game that we play called What's My Zinger? Basically, we're going to talk about a fact, and then we're going to create a zinger about it.
Let's start it off, shall we?
Yes. Okay. Star Wars is headlining LEGO Masters Season 5 brand integrations. Also, Batman will be featured. Accompanying each of those challenges will be surprise guest appearances by characters from the franchisees.
So Will Forte is not... Who's hosting again for LEGO Masters?
Will Arnett. Will Arnett.
He was the voice of Batman, wasn't he?
He was Batman.
Exactly. Well, at least they didn't have to pay him twice.
Okay, I'm looking at the Star Wars LEGO Masters integrations, and all I can say is, you know, if you recreate the planet Alderaan by just dumping a whole bunch of Legos on the floor, that'll earn you the win that week.
It might.
I heard through the grapevine that one team was disqualified for excessively using Grogu.
Chicky nuggies.
Exactly.
You know, telekinesis of the Lego pieces is not legal on LEGO Masters.
Well, yeah, because if you do that, that's definitely use of excessive force.
Okay.
Had to be there. Next one.
Bridge of Lies, the show that we borrowed as Beat the Bridge, is lighting up its latest celebrity edition with such stars from Gladiators UK, Mark Chapman, Beth Tweedle, J.J. Chalmers, Gordon Smart, Tyler West, Sarah Davies, Nikki Fox, Jay McGinnis, Cheryl Baker, Snoochie Shy, Faye Tozer, Les Dennis, and Fiona O'Carroll. So, celebrities trying to cross a bridge of lies. In other words, a Thursday.
No, it's not a Thursday, see? See, the thing is, the UK, you know, is hard for contestants. We have 538 of them every day in the U.S. politicians. Bridge of Lies? Any politician can do that.
The real lie is to convince us that any of these episodes with the celebrities is going to be any good.
Well, Rachel Riley is in one of them, so that's at least one episode we're watching.
Mm.
No, it's
that
not,
you're watching.
Not that Rachel Riley. The other Rachel Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if it's Countdown, then maybe we'll watch that.
Mm-hmm. So, Dancing with the Stars has got its first celebrity.
Oh, hold on. I gotta ring the bell first.
All right, okay. Dancing with the Stars has released its first celebrity, Robert Irwin. Yeah. It goes to show you, if you're a snake lover, you'll definitely love this show.
Okay, so we have a snake in the UK, a snake in the US, and Robert Irwin. One of these things is not like the others.
Crikey, mate. It's beyond that's not a knife, this is a knife. But it is a blade.
It is definitely a blade. Gordon, do you have one? Wow.
I got one.
Okay.
covering something that we covered last week, and we'll cover it again this week. The luckiest guy in America, a.k.a. the Pressure Luck story, is almost vanishing from theaters. In, out, gone.
I guess this means I can throw out my my spec script on the history of the Newlywed Game.
Dude, no, my spec script is on the history of Hugh. Okay, get it right.
Actually, do you want to see something on the history of Hugh? That would be fun.
That would be fun.
So, yeah, well, now that the movie's gone, the whammies are currently hanging out in the New York Stock Exchange. Have you seen our stock exchange?
If elected, I will raise your taxes!
Well, they're raising our tariffs. Every single one. Next one, Chico.
Okay, next, number 5. An appeals court, we're going back to the appeals court with CBS and Sony, has tipped the scales towards CBS in the ongoing rift between the two companies.
They may as well be countries at this point.
Be countries at this point, yeah. Did my zinger as part of the news, believe it or not. Yeah, let's see. Sony's fighting with CBS. CBS is fighting with Sony. They're taking it one way, they're taking it the other. Why don't they just get into a room and,
I've actually listened into the meetings. The big problem is the custody of the ceramic Dalmatian. That's the problem.
Well, actually, the bigger problem is because of the new AI, whether they're going to put Steve Irwin with Cyber Lucy.
I still maintain that they should just get into a room and already. Okay, last one.
Gordon.
Last one. We haven't had a Bachelor reference yet. The real one, not the Golden Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
One. So, but the Bachelor pad's available. Who would you put on it?
I just want to know if Hannah Brown comes with the Bachelor pad. Oh, she's going to be in Paradise this season? Never mind.
Anya and his cousin. If you heard about that, you know the reference. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not, but, you know.
Gordon?
You are not sorry. So, well, at least now you have another spot to place everybody that is going to be excommunicated out of the United States. Because it's not being used right now. Let's use it for something productive.
Well, they just might use it for the second season of Temptation Island, but it's not an island, though, is it?
There you go. Legends of the Hidden Bachelors. In every sense of that.
Just watch out for the temple guards. They're creepy as hell.
Yes, they are. And on that note, we're going to do one more break, and then we'll wrap this one up in a shiny bow.
All right, here on We Love to Interrupt. Thank you so much for listening, by the way.
Interrupt.
WLTI has been brought to you by... What the heck are you doing, New Jersey Devils? You're losing to the friggin' Carolina... Tar Heels!
Hurricanes!
The hell? Hurricanes, Tar Heels, whatever. Doesn't matter, they are losing. Hell is freezing over right now, that's how bad it is.
Hey, may you be in the Lenovo Center for a full 30 minutes before the devil knows you're dead.
Well, the devils are playing like they're dead.
Yeah,
I couldn't be happier.
Oh, I'm sure you cannot, Mr. Carolina Tar Heels fan. See, just to show you, yes, I will beat up on the Kentucky Fried Tar Heels when they deserve to be beaten up. However, in this case, what are you doing, Jersey? The Wizards here, snap out of it! My worst year impersonation ever.
Yes. But we need to start a speed round, and let's do that now. Amazing Race Final 5. Right now, we have the last person in the... Is Han and Holden. Are they next to go?
I think they're next to go. I honestly do, because it's like they keep making mistake after mistake, and yet they keep lucking their way into the next leg
because other teams are making worse mistakes.
Yeah, but I think that finally catches up to Han and Holden next week.
It's a possibility, but I will say for the record, I have not been extremely impressed by this season.
No, I have not. There's been lots of mistakes. These teams are not thinking. They're just playing without thinking, and it's not that great. Survivor, who's next on the jury?
Oh man, I think they're going after. I think they're going after strength. So,
no, I think Mitch goes.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. That's what I was going for.
It's not strength.
Well, they're part of the strong six. So, if you ask me,
see now that's probably what they're going to do. That's not what they should do. What they should do is Eva has blurted about every single power that she has. You need to get rid of her, and they have the numbers to do so. So if they're smart, bye-bye, Eva.
If they're smart. Big if, though.
Okay. If they're smart. It is a big if.
Jeopardy. We have Liam Starnes going for number 5. Does he go any further than that?
I think he gets to about 7, maybe 8.
Yeah, I think we'll be talking about him as a past contestant, but not before he gets a couple more notches under his belt.
I like that. I like it a lot. Okay, do we have any mail? I want to see if we have any mail.
I have a little bonus news that was published today. There is going to be a biopic of the taste judge Anthony Bourdain with Antonio Banderas and Dominic Sessa playing Mr. Bourdain.
I can't wait for
that.
Ooh.
Yes, fun.
And it's that just was released today.
Oh,
so,
nice.
There's that.
Nice. Well, that's going to be interesting. If you have something interesting to pass along to us, our email address is WLTI@GameShowNewsNet.com. Of course, we're on all social media at GameShowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I'm at Beat the Block, the number 2.
And I am GSNN Haterade.
And, of course, the 5N1Net, that's the number 5ANDONENET, is the network where we talk about anything and everything network-wide, including what we're talking about tomorrow. Jason, myself, and the rest of the BS crew are going to Green Bay, the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, as we get set to recap the NFL draft for 2025. Tennessee is on the clock. Who are they gonna pick?
That quarterback dude. I forget his name.
Cam Ward.
Yep, him.
Him. Not to be confused with the former Carolina Hurricane great Cam Ward.
Right, and Hopefully, I think the Giants are, I believe, at number 3. And they are rumored to take Abdul Carter, actually, from Penn State, which I hope they do.
Well,
for many reasons.
Well, it's going to be an interesting watch. I hope you will follow us there. Meanwhile, Jay, you were talking about John Cena all night. He actually won his record on last week's Mania.
On the WrestleMania weekend. And the NAWC will recap all the comings and goings of the week in Las Vegas, including an amazing Raw after Mania with a new Paul Heyman guy, Braun Breaker.
Oh yeah, Paul Heyman went into business for himself. Let's just say,
yes, he did. And now him and Seth Rollins, we may have a new dangerous alliance. And you know that reference, Gordon.
And don't be surprised if we see a new Heyman girl.
Rumor is to that effect, yes. That Becky Lynch may join them.
It would make sense based on who they're thinking the Heyman girl is. It would make a lot of sense.
It would. It would be a hell of a lot of sense, actually. But can't wait to discuss that on Friday. Gordon, what's happening in the UBA?
Your new Northeast champion, Doug Herron. He defeats Jerry LeMay, he wins the belt, and he is now the John Cena of the UBA.
Wow. Yes. Doug Herron. Yes, and he, again, is he going to be as insufferable as he says he's going to be?
Is he going to wreck?
Yes, he is.
Is he going to wreck bowling?
He could wreck the internet.
Okay.
If you've seen any of his videos, he could wreck the internet.
Okay.
UBAToday.info for all your Underground Bowling Association needs.
And you're also on Chico, YouTube now. You're also on YouTube.
We're all over the place.
Yes. And of course, Chico, it was a thing.
Yes, we have a couple of episodes that dropped. Exposed Pro Wrestling's Greatest Secrets in celebration of Mania last weekend. And because it's past midnight here on the East Coast, we have a new episode featuring a show that nobody takes responsibility for selecting for coverage. It is about ex-cons producing a consumer advocate TV show. It's called Shell Game. And it has a young Mark Helgenberger. If you want to know more about it, it's at itwasathingontv.com. But again, neither of the three of us take responsibility for suggesting that show. That's how bad it is.
Okay.
So, next week, we're going to talk about more Jeopardy, more Race, more Survivor, more Top Chef, and warning, a toity approaches.
Ooh, have you gotten the spring list yet together?
It's the summer list, and I'm going to start working on it tomorrow. But more on that next week as we make the change to Thursday. Please make the change with us. For Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, for everybody at 5-1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Good night. Bit,
program.